Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Ayin Tes, the 79th psalm in the book of Tehillim. This is a short Mizmor and it is about the theme of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's take a quick look inside. It is comprised of 13 psukim and divided into two basic sections. The first four psukim are an incredibly harsh and painful description of the horrors of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the second section is from Hei to Yud Gimel, the remaining psukim from 5 onwards, about the prayer for forgiveness and the vengeance that we request from Hashem upon our enemies. It should be noted, of course, that this is one of the Mizmor la'Asafs. This is one of the 11 Asaf Mizmorim in the book of Tehillim, which is a large part of the third book of Tehillim, which is where we are in. In terms of the theme of the Mizmor as a whole, it starts with a shocking description of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We hear corpses lying in the field, traces of blood everywhere, and while this is going on, we hear the nations mocking Israel for their downfall. In response, the Mishorer reaches out to Hashem and begs him for mercy from the sins and for punishment. He begs vengeance and salvation in his very powerful turning point, Ad me Hashem, te'enaf lo netzach, tivar kamoy eish kinosecha. Until when will your anger burn forever? Which seems to be an understanding that the point at the end of this, of all the requests, is ultimately for the sake of heaven itself, not just for the sake of vindication of the individual, but so that ultimately Hashem can be vindicated. In terms of the context of this Mizmor, it does absolutely match what we've been doing up till now. Mizmor Ayin Ches, Psalm 78, was on the topic of the arrival in the land and getting to that apex of building the Beis HaMikdash. This follows on with the continuation of history upon its destruction, and so it matches in terms of the historical trajectory of this section that we've been learning up till now. In terms of events behind the Mizmor, it is pretty clear that this is referring to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, for although there were other points in time in Jewish history in which there was suffering in Yerushalayim, the magnitude of the description here and the sheer horror and the fact that it's connected to the Mikdash make it clear that this is referring to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, which is what all the Mefarshim say. And part of this is just to appreciate this, as the Midrash pointed out, that nobody ever believed that this would ever happen. Quoting Eicha lo ha'aminu malcha eretz kol yoshvei tebel, nobody who lived on earth believed that this would actually take place. Why? Mi hayon ma'amin shev Yerushalayim nichbeshes b'yad asonim. Nobody ever believed that Yerushalayim would ever fall. Because of all the previous miracles that happened in the times of Sancheriv. For those of us who learned Yirmiyahu together, this is really poignant over here. Yirmiyahu stood for years and years and years warning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And even when Babylon first besieged Jerusalem, and he said it was going to be the end, what ended up happening was that Babylon had to go off to fight Israel's ally, Egypt, at the port. And abandoned the siege, and they thought that they were saved. Then the Babylonians came straight back. And in that last siege, a terrible, terrible last siege over 2 years, in that time, Yirmiyahu was in the city. He was imprisoned because he kept saying to them, we're going to lose, we're going to lose. And he told them to give over their arms to the Babylonians and make peace with them. People thought he was a traitor, but what he was fighting, the intellectual inertia he was fighting, was the fact that everybody believed that they still would be saved. They still believed that what happened at the times of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, when the Assyrians had besieged Jerusalem and their army had been destroyed, they really fervently believed that this would happen in the times of the Babylonians, and it was not to happen. That's part of the shock that this Mizmor is expressing, what the Midrash is picking up on. It should be noted that there is an incident in which our Mizmor is actually quoted, this particular episode, and that's to be found in Sefer Makkabim, Volume 1, Perek Zion, the first section of this Perek of Sefer Makkabim. Makkabim is one of the Apocrypha, which means to say it was not included in the canon of Tanakh, but it is written at the time about the wars of the Chashmonaim. This is after Tanakh was closed, so it is certainly not a Sefer Kodesh, and we cannot trust it, but it certainly is on an academic level, it is something which is almost sort of a key into what a version of history that was happening then, even though it was certainly not spiritually endowed. In this description, it describes how Demetrius arrives at Jerusalem. Demetrius was sent from Greece, and he's going to take over the state, and he's trying to gain trust. So he sends out a fellow, fellow to Judas, to Yehuda Maccabee. And either this person's name is Bacchides or Bacchides, and this person seeks to find trust, and he convinces a number of the scribes, a number of the Sofrim, or the Chassidim as they are called, to meet with him. And they do meet with him unsuspectingly, and he murders 60 of them. He murders 60 of these scribes. And upon this, at the end of this, it says, "Vayhi ki haminu l'shvuaso," they believed his oath that he'd protect them. "Vayachas shishim ish mehem vayishchatum b'yom echad." He killed 60 of them. He killed 60 of them. And then it says, "Kakosuv b'sar chasidecha l'chayisa eretz shafchu damam kamayim sivos Yerushalayim ve'en kover." According to the words which he wrote, the flesh of thy saints have been cast out, and their blood have been shed around Yerushalayim, and there was none to bury them. That's the pasuk from this Mizmor in Tehillim. Now, this does not mean that this Mizmor in Tehillim was written about that event. It is clear from this Sefer Maccabim that Sefer Maccabim is quoting our Mizmor in Tehillim, meaning to say, using the earlier event of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and saying that this terrible massacre which occurred by the trusting Chassidim, who turned to Bacchides or Bacchides, ultimately were killed by him, and this is the same proportion of a tragedy which is being evoked over here. So it's a fascinating quotation of this Mizmor in Tehillim rather than actually a event behind it. In terms of the places in our davening this appears, so the Maseches Sofrim, which is one of the Masechtos Ketanos, tells us these can be found at the end of Seder Nezikin in Perek Yud Ches Halacha Dalad, says that in Sofrim it says that this Mizmor is to be said on Tisha B'Av along with Kuf Lamed Zayin, which is Al Naharos Bavel. It's very much about the destruction, of course. The Nusach Sfardi is to say it as part of the Kinos, and also additionally in the Nusach Sfardi is to say this is the Shir Shel Yom on Shiva Asar Tammuz, which is the beginning of the 3 weeks when we are really setting into that mood of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It is also to be noted this is part of Tikkun Chatzos. The halacha is it was brought down in Shulchan Aruch that a person people are supposed to wake up at Chatzos to pray for mercy about the destruction of Yerushalayim, and as part of Tikkun Chorachel, as the Arizal instituted, is this Mizmor Tehillim. Also incrementally, Psukim Ches to Tes appear at the end of our Tachanun, where it goes, "Al Tizkolonu Avonon Sushonim Meharia Kadmunu Rachamecho Kidalonim." Oh Hashem, please don't remember our early sins, and Ozreinu Lekei Yishenu Dvaka Vachemecho Vatzilenu Vachaper Al Chatosenu Laman Shemecho. Of course, Pasuk Tes is the end of the Tachanun, the very, very end of the whole Tachanun prayer, in which we say to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Help us, God of our salvation, for the sake of the glory of your name, rescue us and grant atonement for our sins." So that is very much part of our davening service. Then there is also pasuk yud, which is Lama Yomru Hagoyim Ayei Elokehem Yivodav Hagoyim Leinenu Nigmastam Avodeh Hashavuch. Why should the nation say, "Where is their God gone"? Why is it they going to question the efficacy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and rather vindicate us by killing those who killed us? That is used as part of the Avarachamim prayer on Shabbos afternoon, Shabbos just before Musaf. Is borrows this pasuk Sukim Zayin Vav to Zayin 6-7. Shvoich Chamoscho El Agoyim Asher Lo Yodaucho Avamachos Asher B'Shimchol Karo Ki Achalas Yaakov Es Noveyu Veishamu. When it talks about how Hashem pour your wrath upon the nations who don't know you, and the kingdoms who do not call to you because they destroyed us and consumed us, that is part of the Haggadah of Pesach, where at that time we evoke the vengeance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Yud Gimel is another example, is V'anachnu Amchot Zetzon Marisecha Noedeh Lecha Lo'ilam Nador V'dor Nsapet Losecha. We are your nation, we are your flock, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throughout generations we will recount your praise. Of course, is the basis of the Moedim prayer, which we say in the Shmoneh Esrei, which is based on the Dor V'Dor and Saper Tilo Secha. In the meantime, just one pasuk in the highlight worthwhile thinking about and contemplating is Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Aleph calls this Mizmor La'Asaf. This is a song to Asaf, and then it talks about Elokim Boim Goyim Benach Lo Secha, that nations have come to your inheritance. Why is this a Mizmor? This should be a Kina. Mizmor says it sounds like it's a song of sorts, and a song suggests some sort of levity, some sort of joy. There's no joy in this Mizmor. So Rashi says, and the Midrash fleshes this out in greater detail. The example is of a king who gets extremely, extremely upset about it with his son. His son's getting married, And the king is so disgusted by his son. What he did was he goes and rips up the chuppah shel benoi. He rips up the room, the canopy of his son, and throws him out. And a little while later, when the king has mercy on his son, he feels much happier that chas v'shalom, he never would have harmed his son, because if he had harmed his son, then ultimately his own inheritor would be his nephew, not his own son. And of course he wants his son, even though his actions were deplorable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu rips up the chuppah of Bnei Yisrael, which is the Mikdash, but he still has us, and he still wants us to come back. And part of the comfort in this mizmor is that it was only the Beis HaMikdash, and yes, there were many people killed, but the nation of Israel still continues to live. Am Yisrael Chai. Ibn Ezra has a different perspective on this, and he says that the reason why we call this a mizmor and not a kinah, he says, is because of the end of the mizmor. Because at the end of the mizmor it says, "Mizmor she'rabbe ruach hakodesh ba'avur zemach she'kosu ba'achrona ki Yisrael hayu amoy v'nachlosai." That the realization of the mishorer, of the narrator, is that we are still, ultimately, we are still the flock of HaKadosh Baruch Hashem still loves us despite our actions. There's still a connection. There's still what to work with. We've not been rejected. And ultimately, we'll come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.